During this gospel, it is getting near the end of Jesus' ministry, time to enter Jerusalem one final time for his passion. And he knows the time is near, the hour has come. And he talks about glorified, being glorified at this time, which sounds like a paradox because we know what happens. We know the end of the story. But he will be hung up on a nailed to a cross, beaten and whipped and nailed to a cross, bloody and dead. And he sees that as glorification. So there's a paradox already as Christ is setting up this Christ's humiliation, or so-called humiliation of the cross, and his glorification. St. Augustine lays out this paradox and explains why it's necessary. He says, quote, "It was appropriate that the loftiness of his glorification should be preceded by the lowliness of his passion," end quote. So there's a lesson here, an encouragement then for all of us, that we should see every type of suffering, of pain in our own lives, of everything we go through, as a sharing then in Christ's own cross, and see that not as necessarily humiliation or pain in our lives, but as sharing in the glory of Christ himself, if we offer our pain and our suffering to him. So for this to be effective then, a person then must die to him or herself, forget his comfort, shedding his selfishness. But it's so opposite of what our society is like today. It is so fixated on seeking and keeping comfort. Think of all the creature comforts, we call them, we have in our own lives. The bells and whistles of our cars today are vastly different from what they were even decades ago. How far advanced are our entertainment devices, our televisions, our cell phones, our iPhones? All these things are vastly improved to entertain us, to keep us comfortable. We often complain if the AC is too hot or too cold. How silly that is, because over 100 years ago, very few buildings had air conditioning at all. Definitely in Jesus' time, he had none of those things. And yet somehow they survived, right? So you compare the life you live today then just to your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and you see how good we have it. And yet they themselves will talk about the good old days. And when you hear the stories of what they went through, you're thinking, how did they ever survive? Unfortunately, these need to be comfortable in our lives has reached some drastic, horrible, evil levels. We now have assisted suicide so that one can avoid the pain and suffering. And worst of all, we have people that will kill unborn babies to avoid any inconvenience or to avoid any responsibility. Our society's desperate search for comfort is now killing other people. Our society will do anything to avoid pain and suffering. And yet that's not so. That should not be so for us. Jesus willingly walked right to it, embraced it, and we are then called to do the same. It was inevitable for him, and many times pain and suffering is inevitable for all of us as well. We can't escape it. But Jesus could have avoided the cross, right? He could have roamed the earth for decades, teaching and healing, and eventually having some peaceful, natural death. But he knew that was impossible. That could not happen. He knew that his terrible death on the cross was necessary, was required, and would bring about a much greater result. He had to fall on the ground and die like the grain of wheat. But his death then left the gospel message to be preached by his disciples. And so he, the grain of wheat, then produced much more, many more, that would multiply and then produce, and they would die and then produce, to become the church we have today. Jesus' crucifixion was not a humiliating loss, but a triumphant victory. It is the greatest sign of God's love for all of us, because true love does not avoid suffering, but embraces it for the other. True love is willing to suffer, and true love transforms suffering That's not something we want to avoid, but something we want to be a part of. I think those of you who have been married for a while, you understand this, you know this. You've been married for a long time. It's not always, you know, roses and cupcakes. There are bad times that go through as well. But you endure, you do it together. You suffer and you sacrifice together. According to a recent survey, the number one reason for divorces in our country is a lack of commitment on one or both spouses. These couples then were not dedicated to the sacred union of marriage or serious about making it last. What they had was superficial love, if there was any love at all. They lacked true love. They were not willing to sacrifice or suffer for the other, which is why you often hear the statistic that 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. But when you look at Catholic marriages, that number goes way down, like 20 or 25%, because they understand through the sacrament, through the graces received in the sacrament of matrimony, and through understanding of their own faith, suffering is a part of life. And if you want true love, there's going to be bad times, there's going to be good times, but the couples endure together. And this is what it means then to love, to live your life. It's what Jesus also says when he says, to love your life, you must lose it. A person has to die to himself, again, forgetting his or her comfort and shedding his or her selfishness. And whether it be your spouse or your children, your family or your friends or your neighbors. And to hate your life for this world will preserve it for all eternity. Now, when Jesus says hate your life, he doesn't mean to despise your life and just, you know, abhor it. Hate in this sense, in this Greek word, means to detach from sin, to detach from the worldly things and that separate you from God. Hate the secular things in your world when you should be grasping and attaching to the more spiritual things. To remove these secular, these things that are bad for you, that cause sin, that cause you to draw away from God, to remove these things can bring suffering about too. You want these, you enjoy these things, but you realize they're not good. And so we got to learn then that's the good kind of suffering we want to have, we want to embrace, the suffering that then we can put at the foot of the cross, the suffering then that brings us closer to Jesus Christ. As we approach Holy Week now, we must see then, let's see how we could put others ahead of ourselves and put ourselves behind others. It's not easy. We want to, especially in our world today, it's very selfish, very self-serving. But turn instead of self-serving, try self-sacrificing. What can I do to help someone else close to me? What can I do to show my love, my appreciation to someone close to me? How can I share that love of Christ to someone else? And if you are going through any kind of pain or suffering, either because of that or just in general, realize that you are not alone, that Christ suffers with you. And then give that suffering to him to endure, because he already paid the price on the cross. He wants you to give it to him. So as I said before, I'll say again, you never suffer alone. Whether you suffer with others or not, you always then suffer with Christ. It's a good message as we get closer to Holy Week then, is to remember that what Christ did for us on the cross, he's still doing today. And he still wants us to embrace the cross with him if we have to. And most of all, to have true love for others as well.